Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Teacher, and most importantly, a student of the universe. Thank you so much for being here. Happiness Specialist, who the hell does she think she is? They're just impossible to be happy all the time. That doesn't even make sense. Yes, yes. I've heard it all. I know. The message and what I share on this show is controversial, sometimes disruptive, definitely contentious, and unpopular. And I know it, and I've been sharing it, and I've been teaching this same, the truth about happiness. Ooh-wee, 4.5 decades now? Let me tell you how it all started, just in case we just met. Do you remember blowing out the candles on your birthday cake and making a wish? Or dropping a coin into a fountain and making a wish, or a river making a wish? Well, when I was in my teens and my 20s, I always wished for the same two things. The first one was I wanted to live to my potential. Now, I didn't have a clue as to what that meant, as to what it looked like. I had no idea. I was open to suggestions. But I definitely said I wanted to live to my potential. And the second thing that I always wished for was I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be happy. And you know, when you ask, you get an answer. When you ask, you receive. And so this happiness thing eluded me, this because I was programmed, just like 98% of the population, programmed to believe that accomplishments or titles or a relationship or how much I weighed or how much I had or how much was in the bank account or where I lived, all of that, that's going to make me happy, correct? That's going to bring happiness. Well, talk about an ultimate blindside to the back of the head. No, none of those things, nothing external, including finding my dream home, nothing external is responsible for happiness. And let me just go back to the beginning. Let me give you my definition of happiness. My personal definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what happens, regardless of what the world throws at me, regardless, an energy of peace and contentment. That's my definition of happiness, and I realize that everybody's got a different definition. Okay, and some people don't even like the word, but know that when I say happiness, it is an energy that I'm speaking about. It is an energy of peace and contentment. It is a foundation rooted in peace and contentment. Happiness for me is a state of mind. It's a vibration. It's an energy. It is my foundation. And the good news is it's also a practiced skill. And like any other skill from I know I use the same examples all the time. Let me see if I can think of something new. A landscaper, a painter, a writer, an author, an athlete, a musician, an actor, all practice, a mechanic, all practice. And so this happiness thing, this contentment, this inner peace, all it is a practice. But what do you do? What do you practice? Well, the first part of the practice is eliminating all those programmed behaviors, all of the program. I'm up to 44 now. 44 programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. You know, those behaviors like having an attachment, judging, living in the past, living in the future, comparing, complaining, worrying. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. And so it's a constant practice, but it depends on the individual, and each individual is different. And my practice is to accept all of y'all, accept all of you, all of you, even if, listen to this one, even if you don't want to be happy. That's not even a goal. It's not even a commitment. It's not even a priority. I used to think that, isn't it everybody's priority, happiness? No, it's not. Talk about an awakening. Happiness, this peace, this contentment is a state of mind. And so that's why Nelson Mandela can find peace and contentment in a jail cell. And the examples go on and on and on about it is nothing to do with where you are, where you are in life. It has nothing to do with the stories that the ego continues to tell, to spew out. It is something to do with how you, it is internal, and how you perceive, and you know what's interesting? How do you perceive the world? What is your perception? And your perception is based on what? Programmed thinking. That's why the practice is to put a spotlight on and to gradually, did I say 45 years? Yes, gradually practice eliminating programmed behaviors. Happiness, the good news is happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills, but it depends on the individual, how committed and how much do you prioritize contentment. Oh, it's impossible. It's not normal. You're denying life. Trust me, I've been insulted by the best of them. I've been insulted by multimillionaires. and it still comes down to, and that's another practice. Well, I'm going to jump really quickly. I don't care what happens, what anyone says to you, it's never personal. This is an impersonal universe. So when I have people that are, and I'm going to throw out some program words, that are stabbing me in the back or betraying or lying or making false statements about me, that's right. That happens. It's happening. It's still not personal. That's a practice. And you know, and I know that when you practice, it doesn't matter what it is. When I first started doing these online shows, I couldn't put two sentences together. I was looking at the clock after 3 minutes. Oh, gosh, I got to talk for 5 minutes? And now look at it. Now look. I could speak for hours with no interruption. And all it is in this happiness thing is the same thing. It's about practice. Before I go on with today's topic, which is ooh-wee, I just want to share that I do a lot of practicing. I do a lot of practicing, and what I love to do is share my results with you. And really, the biggest compliment, even though I don't do the compliments or the insults or the compliments, but the biggest compliment or the biggest praise that I, scratch that praise, it just sounds so But the biggest impact that anyone can say to me is, Rebecca, I never thought about it like that. That's it. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Rebecca, I never thought about it like that. Talk about putting a smile on my face. Why, I even get chills just thinking about it. That's my favorite. Anywho, let me get to, before I get to the topic, this is one of my favorite studies. I've said it, I include it on every show. It is, and you can Google it, it's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. It was a study done by a hospice nurse. You can just Google the 5 Most Common Regrets. And these people that she studied, her name was Bronnie Ware, spelled B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware. And the patients, of course, listen, these people had what, days to live, weeks to live, months to live. And she asked them, what are your 5 biggest regrets? And so with that, those questions, there are tons and tons of answers. But these five answers kept coming up over and over and over again. So she wrote a book about it. And I'm going to share the answers with you, just in case you haven't heard this one before. The 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I'm going to have to say that in the beginning when I was programmed and brainwashed by my father, everybody's doing the best they can. But one of his jobs was to make sure that I thought just like he did. Shout out to Ralph Norrington, yes. He wanted his daughter to think and have the same ideas, same as him. No different from the political party to how I viewed life. That was just who he was. And don't say anything. Don't tell anybody. But isn't that the majority of the people? Who knows? I'm just going to throw that out as a question. So the first most common regret of the dying is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. So when I was in my teens and in my 20s and in my probably early 30s, I'm trying to remember so far back. It was such a long, long, long time ago. Yes, I know I've told this online before, live, that when I took a personality test, the Myers-Briggs personality test, and that's an extensive test. It takes about 2 hours to fill it out. And I came back, and the results really surprised me because I'm looking at the results, and I didn't vibe with the results at all. I said, this isn't me. I could feel it in my core. This isn't me. And I took the test again. And I took even longer to answer those questions. And it came back the same. But I knew it didn't feel like it was me. You know how you put a shoe on and it doesn't fit? It just didn't fit. Too tight. Way too tight. Very uncomfortable. Guess what happened, audience? I was testing. I was answering those questions exactly like Ralph Norrington would answer them. Bam, light bulb went on in that moment. I'll never forget it. This isn't even me. And then went the discovery, who the hell am I? Who am I at my core? Who am I? What do I like? What am I rooted in? No, it was totally different from Ralph Norrington. No offense. Let me get back to the 5 most common regrets. So here we go. I already said that twice. And not the life others expected of me. I'll never forget when my father, I know I'm just digressing again. I'll never forget he was one to only buy American cars. you know, this is way back in the day. He was a union man. Only buy American cars. And sure enough, that's all I bought. And then one time I bought a Nissan, and boy, oh boy, did I get berated for that. It's a foreign car. I mean, just on and on and on. But that's a little bit of my story, a little bit of back up behind the scenes. Let me get back to the five most common regrets of the dying. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. And I'm going to throw in, be myself. Be yourself. And the fourth one is, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. You know, I've always said that sometimes we outgrow people. Nothing wrong with them, nothing wrong with you. It's just outgrowing. And the last one, the last most common regret of the dying, of the five, is I wish I would have been happier. That sold me. I wish I would have been happier. So here I am doing everything, the happiness thing first, the peace first, the contentment first. I don't know about you, but I'm committed, and that's my number one priority. Peace and contentment. Now, I get a lot of feedback, a lot of pushback on that one. I've been called everything from toxic to selfish to I've contributed zero to the planet. I've wasted 35 years. Now it's 45 years about searching for this delusional happiness thing. I've heard it all. But trust me. Trust me. I've said it, if I've said it once, I said it before. On my deathbed, I've already thought about it. That's it. The ability to smile. What a gift to be able to smile, crack a joke on my deathbed. That's it. Let me get to today's topic. Well, before I get to today's topic, let me ask you, my dear audience. Oh, and if you want to speak with me live, you can call in. The number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, whether or you're listening on Wisdom or you're listening on Blog Talk Radio Live. I'm going to ask you a question. So what do you think are the biggest challenges in today's world? Well, what do you think some of the biggest problems the world faces today? Poverty, disease, hunger, overpopulation, wars, religion, other countries, the state of global warming, animal rights. Come on. The causes are endless. So what do you think is the biggest problem in the world today? Okay, I'll give you my answer. Thank you for asking. Unhappy people. Unhappy people. People that, and it's not a judgment here. There's a big difference between judgment and witnessing. Witnessing is different than a judgment. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic and you flip them off, is there a lot of inner peace in that? Not saying there's anything wrong with the flip-off, but is there any inner peace? Because I can feel myself. I can feel myself in my inner being is a reflection of how I behave in any moment. Who I am inside, who I am is a reflection on my behavior, what I say, how I say it, my intentions. So the bad news is, if there is any bad news, this is good news, but it could also be viewed as bad news, is where are all the solutions found? In the mirror. That's why nobody's running. running. Let's go to the mirror to find a solution. No, usually the masses point fingers, finding fault, finding something wrong, not finding divine order in this universe, finding something wrong. Let me say something about this universe. And I use the term universe. You can interchange it with God, spirit, higher power, source. It doesn't matter to me. Words, if you listen to the show, it's really about an energy. Words innately are not powerful. Don't tell anybody I said that. I get a lot of pushback on that too. Can you imagine getting to a point where words can't affect you, either high or low? You can't hurt my feelings. You can't insult me. You can't. If my buttons are pushed by a word, then guess what? I have more mirror work to do. I've got to go to the mirror to figure out, to find out, to discover, wow, why is it that a word can make me go up or down? Because I'll tell you this, you weren't born like that. That thinking that words have power, the power to offend you or insult you, thinking that is a program. And whatever the good news is, whatever you learned, you can unlearn. Let me just get back to the topic of today. It would be nice to get to the topic. The first topic is the waiting game. And I'm going to have to say, I wrote a little quote this week, or was it last week? Who knows? Who keeps track of time? That's another illusion. I digress. Waiting. This looking in the mirror is not easy. And I found out this week, I've already known it, but it just came, you know, the spotlight right on you, the spotlight, oh gosh, and there's nowhere to hide, even in the darkest closets. That's when you have a relationship, whatever you want to call that entity, the creator, God, universe, when you have a relationship, there's no hiding from it. None. Trust me, I've tried. There's nowhere to hide. And so the universe gave me this message this week about this waiting. And let me say that this waiting for something to happen so that I will feel a certain way, the good news is that's another program. I discovered another program. I realized that I spent a lot of time waiting. Not a lot of time, but you know what? I'm going to say, especially if I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, way too much time, even a speck of time, even 5 minutes of time, is too long to be consumed with the program. So I'm just going to read what I quoted this week. I discovered another program. I realized that I spent a lot of time waiting for more money, waiting for the ideal weight. You know, I've been chunky and I've been skinny, and I haven't been satisfied with either one. That's the truth, because that's another program, the program of dissatisfaction. I've talked about this before. The world sells dissatisfaction. Be dissatisfied with who you are, where you are, how much, just be dissatisfied. Stay dissatisfied. And anyway, that's the program. So, okay, waiting for the ideal weight. Here we go. Waiting for the perfect romantic relationship. Oh, waiting for Mr. Right. Waiting and waiting. Waiting for Mr. Right. Waiting for the perfect relationship. Waiting for something to manifest in order to feel better. Now, some people may not be waiting, but I'm letting you know. This happiness specialist was waiting. Not all the time, but when I'm fronted on it, I definitely can say, yeah, that's what I do. That I do that from time to time. In fact, I do that more often than need be. And why? Because it is a program of this ego that is always, absolutely, always 100% discontented. This is the stories of discontent. And so getting back to waiting for a manifestation in order to feel better. That even includes waiting for, that even includes, let me see, how do I, any event. So say I have tickets for, some concert. Oh, I can't wait to get there. I'm actually going to be in Iceland in September. Oh, I can't wait to get there. Oh, I can't wait for that to happen. All of that is a program. And anytime I am waiting for something to manifest or something to happen, guess what I'm robbing myself of? The present moment. So this getting excited for something in the future, for a future event, waiting for a future event, I get it. I know. Looking forward to, I understand all of that. I promise you I do. But what happens? What happens when you are living in the present moment? There's no time to wait. The present moment is so full. What is this waiting? So now I'm going from present moment to future, present moment to future. I've got a limited amount of time left, and so does everyone. A limited amount of time. And I would like to live as much of my time as possible in the present moment. But that's another practice. So again, the truth about waiting for something in the future to manifest is just another program. But my ego lives in a constant state of discontent and dissatisfaction, and there's always, always something wrong, always something missing. There's got to be more to this moment, right? There's got to be more to this moment. At least those are the stories I hear. Those are the stories I hear in my head. And the stories, listen, the stories, those endless stories, you know, we all have them. I haven't managed to let go of the stories, but I definitely don't identify with them. And I definitely don't put any power in them. And I definitely don't focus on them unless my ego is feeling really, really, really strong. Pimp-hand strong. The good news is I am not my ego, and neither are you, and I refuse to give one more ounce of focus or power into those programmed stories that my ego constantly, I'm going to use this word, vomits. So I'm ramping up the practice. It's time to dig deeper and practice even more living, staying in the moment. How? How? How do you do that, Rebecca? Well, you've heard of this breathing, just in the moment, practicing breathing, even for 2 minutes or 3 minutes, staying in the moment. And the more you practice living in the present moment, the easier it's going to get. The more you practice, the easier it's going to get, just like anything else. Again, happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills in the moment. Now, in the moment, what comes from living in the moment, here we go. Put your seatbelts on for this one. If you're not strapped in, put your seatbelts on for this one. The present moment. I'm feeling the pain already. I'm joking, but I'm feeling the pain. The present moment is all about being at peace, being okay with uncertainty. uncertainty. There's no waiting in the present moment. And let me just speak for myself. If I'm really living in the present moment, it's a vibration of uncertainty. There's no knowing. It's uncertain. I mean, when I say there's no knowing, I mean there's no knowing about the future. Let me back up just a little bit. This practicing, being okay, being at peace with, being calm, being able to be calm with uncertainty, that's, I can feel both angst, I'm going to label that angst, and peace at the same time. The peace is from trusting that everything is unfolding in exactly the way it's supposed to. Trusting that not only supposed to, but the exact amount of time that it's supposed to unfold. You know, I've said this before, you know, the baby is born exactly when it's time, no sooner nor no later. And so this unfolding of the next moment, the next present moment, the next present moment, especially, I'm only going to speak for myself. Comes with the practice of blind trust. That's not wanting anything sooner or anything later, especially the sooner thing. The other practice is patience. I've been going back and forth with this attorney here for 5 years, you know, the inheritance, the family house went to the handyman. It's a five-year ordeal. 5 years. You don't think that I've thought, and that my ego thought that this should be over? I use the word should. That this 5 years. If you had told me 5 years ago that it's going to go on for 5 years, I would have pulled what's left of my hair out. 5 years. But guess what? That's part of the practice. This waiting and being patient. I like to look at how the universe works or how the universe evolves. You know those shows on the Discovery Channel? Billions and billions and billions of years this Earth took to form. What is it, 500 million years there was life, and another billion years just the life not to be amoebas, and another 500 million years with mammals, and 200 million years with, no, I think it was sea animals, and mammals, and that humans have only been around for 200,000 years. I hope I have those figures right. You know, the memory is just not like it used to be. 200,000 years? That's a long time. Have my ego tell it. But in universal time, it's just a blink. It's a snap of the fingers. And so the practice comes back to letting go of that program and being okay with uncertainty and being okay with the amount of time that anything takes to evolve, including self. Being okay, being at peace with the amount of time that anything takes to evolve or happen. And, you know, here's another one. Oh, this is a, oh, gee, you're not going to like this one. Listen to this. How about letting go of the plan. Letting go of my plan. and really not only letting go of my plan, but being open to the universal plan. Oh, no. That's one of those. What is it? What did they say? I make my plans and God makes his plans and God's laughing, making his plans or her plans, whatever you want to, whatever. God laughs at me making plans, that kind of thing. It's not my will, it's your will. That. My plans. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes the plans, so we have two moments, two types of moments. We have those wanted moments, and then we have unwanted moments. That's it. Wanted moments, unwanted moments. And I don't know about you, but I was programmed to not want, to not accept, to not like those unwanted moments. No! Why would I? Why would I? But as you know, that it's those quote-unquote unwanted moments. And who says they're unwanted moments anyway? I'll give you a hint. The ego, and you can, listen, this ego, if you don't like that word, lower consciousness, mind, critical mind, whatever word you want to use, you know that the one, that entity that is constantly with the stories, that entity, that's what I'm talking about. Put whatever name or whatever label you want. But you know you didn't have that when you were born. That separation came later. The separation, when you were born, you were connected. But the separation came, and then the separation, ego, all of it evolved. So I'm not up here hating on my ego. Let me be very clear. I'm not up resisting it either. But I definitely recognize its characteristics. And I definitely recognize that. Let me just speak for myself again. Its job is to find fault with the present moment. Its job is to make sure that I don't believe that this moment is enough. Its job is to just be so discontented with all of it. And I'm at a stage where universe, assist me. Oh, scratch the assist. Because my new thing is I'm not asking for help anymore. I'm asking, remind me, universe, who I am. Who am I really? I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I am a spiritual or energetic. You know what I'm talking about, having a human experience. And this lifetime, this human lifetime, is faster than a blink. And if I am a spiritual being having a human experience, I'm telling you right now, this human stuff, I'm letting it go. Letting it go from the name to the titles, you know, you got to put a title to the show, to the name, to the titles. All I am, really, what I really am is just sharing with what I've learned. Because I've got both hands up right now. This contentment thing, feeling being content, prioritizing contentment, regardless of what happens, that's on my to-do list, all of my to-do lists. That's my only to-do list. Let me get back to this waiting. So when I discovered there's, now you're waiting for something to be over, waiting for a conclusion, waiting for closure, waiting for you fill in the blank. It's just another program, a program to wait. Wait for something to manifest so I can feel a certain way. And I'm done. I'm done with it. No, thank you. No, I'm not waiting. This present moment, and I ask, remind me, universe, remind me how to live, how to stay, to live, to practice in the present moment, and how to be happy with nothing out, with nothing that's external, either happening or not happening. Nothing happening. Just finding enjoyment, finding satisfaction, and I mean vibrationally, finding vibrational satisfaction in the moment without anything having to happen. Let's get to the next topic, which is blindsides. Ooh, blindsides. You know, life just throws out a blindside one after another after another. It is a roller coaster ride of challenges, circumstances, events, life, from health issues, financial issues, relationship issues. That's just what life is. And so when I'm hit with the blind side, and let me give you a perfect example. Last week, if you know, I've been teaching fitness classes for, over 40 years also. And there is I don't know what it is, but I sure do get a lot of pleasure, satisfaction, enjoyment. It is a real high torturing strangers. I mean a teaching student and challenging students, and I've loved it. And so in this new community where I've been a little over a year now, I torture seniors. Listen, I could torture young ones or old ones. Just as long as I'm torturing strangers, it's a thrill. And that's what the universe did to me. Because I'm not and under the disguise of what I did to make something happen. No, because I've already given up. It's not my plan. It's not my plan. I wouldn't have planned it like this. This life would have looked a lot different if I was planning it. Anywho, I know that's another controversial thing also, this whole free will, we have choices. I get it. I really do. Let me get back to what the universe took away. They took away my classes. There were, three of them I'm volunteering. But the two cardio classes that I really loved, they just took them away. Without a story, I'm not even going to give a story as to what happened, why it happened, because the bottom line is, if I was supposed to have classes to teach, I would. And if I'm not supposed to have classes to teach, I'm not. And guess what happened when the classes were taken away? I'm thinking, I'm feeling, oh gosh, you know, that's my. I was getting a lot of satisfaction, a lot of. It was like being on stage, getting filled up, a lot of energy, a lot of adrenaline, all of that, everything firing, all of it. It was a high. It is a high, a natural high. And the universe took those classes away for a reason. And what I believe the reason is for, to even dig deeper, because if you're this happiness specialist, what do these classes have to do with your high or your enjoyment? And I get it. I'm closing my eyes now. I mean, I know the feedback. I know the responses. I got it. But I'm sharing with you a personal insight, a struggle, if you will. are you able to feel that high, get that high, without anything external, Rebecca? And for a moment, when I say a moment, there was more than a day, 2 days. I'm still shaking it off. Still shaking it off. Because what I do know and what I do trust, that whatever is happening, and here we go, because this came from it. This came from this situation last week or 2 weeks ago. That I am being served, throw yourself into this too. Don't think I'm the only one. That I am being served in every moment. Regardless of the blind side, regardless of how my body feels, regardless of the aches and pains, regardless of circumstances, regardless of how long anything takes, regardless of what I have and regardless of what I don't have, I am being served on the highest level. On the highest level. So I went from the mantra of, boy, this is a mess, to the new mantra of what I repeated. I am being served in every moment. Every moment. And that's just not a, I'm just saying it. I'm asking for more, I was going to say rootedness, that's not even a word, but more, dig it in, universe, dig it in. I am being served in any moment, every moment. And if my ego is giving me pushback and saying, no, there's something wrong with, you know, I mean, from false charges to selective enforcement, I mean, you name it. false statements. I'm supposed to accept that? And then the universe hit me with this. Well, you practice, nothing's personal. Thanks a lot, universe. So when I say a blind side, I mean something that I have, and this can come from somebody that you know that's living one moment and dead the next. And I don't mean to sound so direct, but that's what I mean. Living this moment, dead the next. That happens, especially at this age now. Oh, my goodness. I'm being served in every moment, and if I'm being served in every moment, so are you. And let me get back to this. In those times where my ego will just not shut up, will just go on and on with this story of something's wrong, this is unjust, all of that, I ask my ego, I ask it out loud, what's good about this moment? What's good about the blind side? What's good about the rug being ripped away? Ripped from under you. What's good about it? And if you ask, when you're in that moment and you're in the, you know, in the middle of the storm and you're being tossed and turned by life, because we all are, all of us, from the wealthiest, and, you know, I get this thing with these people, trust me, my best friend tells me he's been around, you name it, he's been around him. He says, you know, those wealthy people need a little bit more. He says, because they think that all of this wealth, and now you're going to feel good. But it doesn't come from anything external. You got everything. You can go anywhere. You can meet anyone you want. You got all the money. You got more money than you'll ever need to spend. Ever. And so what's the reason for the misery? What's the reason for the discontentment? I said this before. I'm going to have to say it again. Will Smith was interviewed before the slap in GQ magazine. November 2021, and he said it. You've heard stories just like this. You said, I wanted to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Yes, check. Music career, check. Money, check. I'm sure he could make a phone call and get anybody on the phone. That's what they say on Shark Tank. I can make a phone call and everybody will answer my phone. Everybody will answer my phone call. I actually like that show. Yeah. And he said in that article, but he wasn't happy. I don't need to give you evidence of that. And he wasn't happy. So what I'm sharing is, and again, one of my practices is to accept every single person that doesn't think what I think is important, that doesn't agree. That goes from the label of you, whatever you label anybody. Oh, this is another one. Whatever you label anybody else, know that you're really talking about yourself. Sorry. You're really talking about you. So that goes to all of the people that the energy may not be compatible. The energy is definitely not compatible because that's the difference. You're either surrounded by compatible energy or non-compatible energy. You either are compatible or you're not. Maybe sometimes you're compatible. But that you can feel that. That's an easy one. But the acceptance of people that are not compatible, oh, my goodness, I'm still working on that. Accepting other people that are not compatible with your energy. I totally got off the blindside topic, which I do sometimes, get off topic. This blindsided by life, and we all have examples of it. You only know someone, and that includes yourself, the person in the mirror. You only know someone when you're challenged. The blind sides, life's blind sides, are challenges. So who are you when you're challenged? And the answer is it depends on what you practice when you're not challenged, when you're not blindsided. Life, let me just back up. What I've found out is that the growth and the expansion and the self-awareness, all of that practice, all of it, and being more conscious and being open to more possibilities, being open to the truth and feeling the truth. And I'm not talking about, well, it's his truth and it's my truth and then there's the other truth. No, I'm talking about universal truth, universal laws. You jump off a five-story building, gravity is going to hit, universal truth, and you can feel it. You can feel them beneath all of the programming. Beneath all of the programming, you can feel the truth. And you know, there's another. Let's see, David Hawkins. For people that don't know, you can YouTube David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins, and one of the things that I don't know if he started it, but it's called muscle testing and how the body gets weak. The body goes weak. The muscles go weak when the truth isn't spoken or lived. Weak. That's not mine to teach. There's a lot of practitioners that do the muscle testing. And that's the thing. Anyway, let me just look at my notes. The blind side. Okay, the blind side. So, in summary, to sum everything up, let me ask you. So, what's in your closet? When I say in your closet, because this is a deep dive, dissecting, discovery, unless you don't want to. But the self-discovery and the self-awareness and looking at how can I, how do I, what is going to be my biggest contribution to this planet in any moment? In any moment. Is it money? Is it contributing, volunteering, all of it? I contend, along with behaviors, my biggest contribution is my energy. And not my energy sometimes. My energy all the time. My contribution is my energy, my personal vibration. And my contribution and my gift, one of my gifts, is to accept others, is to accept others without judgment. Have you ever talked to somebody, have you ever had a conversation with someone and you felt acceptance without judgment? The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. Acceptance without judgment. That's not an easy one to practice. I got both hands up on that. So to sum everything up, what are you waiting for? How about practicing living in the present moment as many times as possible, as often as possible? And the second topic is the blind side, the world, the life of blind sides. And it comes from personal, and it comes from people that are close to you. And the ability to be at peace, content with uncertainty, when, where, how. We don't need the why. We already know the why is because it's serving you. Blindsides. The practice is, do you trust? And if any of you out there say you worry, then you know that's a program. It's not your fault, it's a program. Worrying is just an absence of trust, lack of trust, not practicing trust. And if you're like me, if you are, we're not all alike, but that practice of trust, as soon as life hits me with the blind side, right into trust mode. Let it go, surrender, without resistance. I know this moment is here to serve me. Okay, thank you. thank you. Sometimes I don't say thank you to the universe. But in the moment, I always roll around, I always boomerang back to saying thank you. Because the truth is I am being served just like you. And before I end, I want to share just a few. I said earlier that there are 45 program behaviors that subtract from your happiness, subtract from your inner peace, and subtract from your contentment. I'm just going to name a few of them. 44. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. I know. I just said it. I had to break my, everybody thinks happiness is important. It's number one. No, everybody doesn't think happiness is that important. No, everyone, inner peace, contentment. No, it may be 3, 4, 5, or 6 down on the list, or maybe not on the list at all. But one of the things that subtracts from your peace and your happiness is wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. The other one is staying out of everybody else's business. In my personal life, trust me, I'm not noticing, I'm not commenting, I'm practicing not judging anyone else. Because when I judge others, It starts with me. That judgment, judging others is a program. And know that there is a difference between witnessing and describing someone and judging them. It's a totally different energy, witnessing and describing and judging. Giving power to words, I said that already. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing. And you know what? I'm going to give everybody a homework assignment. And you don't have to do it. But I'm out and about. And what I hear most often, what I hear from people is some conversation about yesterday. It is a constant, what did I do? Yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Ooh, I'm really off key. Yesterday, I started too high. It's always about yesterday. So I'm going to challenge you to be mindful, or not, of how much you talk to other people, or even yourself, about yesterday. Because anything, that's another program, living in the past or living in the future. Trying to control someone else other than yourself. Unless somebody is asking me a question, I'm not in their business. You do you, boo. Live your best life. And know that these people, all of these people that I judge or used to judge, I don't have anything 100%. Know that. It is a constant practice. This judging others, it only happens because I'm judging myself first. So that letting go, practicing letting go of self-judgment, and that's another program. Here's another one, and then I am going to say adieu. Assigning a label to any experience. Oh, that's a tough one. Assigning a label. This is a good day. This is a bad day. One of the favorite program words is, oh, sad. Isn't that sad? Well, that's a whole vibration that you're putting out. And, again, whatever you're vibrating is going to be your contribution. If you're okay with that, okay. But I consciously choose to put out an energy and a vibration of peace and contentment in every present moment. And I know, believe, trust with every breath that I take that every moment is serving me. Every single moment, without a doubt, without fail, is serving me. And if it's serving me, it's serving you too. It ain't easy. The homework assignment, I'm going to give you another homework assignment, only because it's Easter. Happy Easter to everybody that celebrates Easter. I'm going to give you another homework assignment. Whatever problem or challenge you are currently experiencing, whatever it is, and whatever your perception is or whatever your story is about it, whatever it is, practice coming up with another perspective that's going to lighten up your energy. See, that's another practice that wasn't taught. That's another thing that wasn't taught. I wasn't taught to have another perspective. I was taught to, I have one perspective, and I got to stick with it. That's the right perspective. What if my thoughts, they're the truth. Yes, everything I'm thinking must be the truth. And, in fact, that's one of the things that Byron Katie teaches, you know, your thoughts. Is it, number one, is it true? Is it true? Can you say that whatever I'm thinking is the truth? And the second question is, how do you know that it's the truth? Give me evidence that you know absolutely that it's the truth. And how do you feel when you believe that that's the truth? But see, the ego doesn't want you to get rid of anything that it comes up with. doesn't want you to give up anything that it offers. Nothing. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to say, question the thoughts and the stories. And not only that, not only question, how about letting go? How about just experiencing this present moment without a story, without a label? Good day, bad day, productive day, lazy day. It's endless, this productive day. I was productive today. I feel good about being productive. How about just feeling good about being alive? How about just feeling this breath, this gift that we all have of life, the gift of life? Ooh-wee. Well, thank you for listening. Reality spirituality is heard every Sunday, unless I'm not inspired. It's heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, everything is a work in progress. Everything is being updated, but don't ask me when. But it's going to happen. It's happening. Been patient. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And then I wrote a chapter in the book I read last year. It's called The Book I Read, which is just one chapter about the author that has impacted me the most. You know, that's hard to just say one. But I talked about David Hawkins, and it's called The Book I Read, and it was a collaboration of 25 authors. And the book that I'm writing now, which is going to be out, oh, my goodness, it's going to be out sooner than later. It's called Programmed for Unhappiness. I don't have a subtitle yet, but it's called Programmed for Unhappiness, and it's going to be published sometime this year. And so until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe in human form. You're conscious energy, and you're always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. By accepting yourself in every single moment, practicing living in the present moment, be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. That's a quote from Abraham. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Rebecca L. Norrington, and happiness is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find. And in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh,
yeah. Reality spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality,
yeah, you gonna feel good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Time to get real.